Again, we're glad you're here as people come in here from the choir and so on and so forth. Happy Father's Day again, and we're so very thankful that you're here. My family really supporting me today. You see them all up here? See all them empty pews? They decide to go to the hospital and go to different places and so on and so forth. Hey, buddy, put that money in there. You're doing good. Yeah, you know what you're doing? Huh? You're supporting children in India. You're helping them be fed, clothed, and go to school. And we appreciate you doing that, late or on time. Thanks, man. We appreciate you. Thank the little fellas, too, huh? Happy Father's Day. And the joke is told about the father of five children, and he won this toy. And he got all these children together, and he starts asking questions. He says, "Who is the most obedient?" And not much was said. "Who never talks back to your mother?" And there wasn't much said again. "Who does everything that she says?" And five little voices in unison says, "You do, Daddy. You keep the toy." So maybe he was a smart man. I don't know. But anyway, honor your father and mother. We know that. It's not the first time we hear it, but it is true. And I've been trying to do that, and you've been trying to do that, and we will be blessed by doing it. So why do we honor dads today? Because it's a holiday? Well, maybe that's a little part of it. I don't know. Because they're good to us, because it's a tradition, whatever. But there's more to it than just tradition. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 on the screen says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That means when you're 18, that means when you're 16, it really means when you're 12 and 13. It remains when you're 4, when you're 5, when you're 56 or 70, if you're blessed that long, to honor your father and your mother. It does not say in Scripture, honor your father and mother if you agree with everything they do. If they're perfect, they're not. Honor your father and mother if you like them, if they always give you what you want. No, it doesn't say that. So you're to honor your father and mother, children. And I want you to hear that. Teenagers, I want you to hear that. People my age, I want us all to hear that. No matter what age we are, because this is right, the Scripture says. And it's got a promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. So we need to pay attention to that. It is my belief, and you can have yours, but I truly believe that we're at war today. And you say, well, is that in Afghanistan? Is that in Iraq? Is that whatever? I think it's in our own country. I think we're in a terrible spiritual battle. I think we're in a war with the devil himself, and that in our homes is the front line. And the home is the front line. And I'm thinking of my own home. I'm thinking of how I raised children. I think of how I made mistakes. I think now I'm blessed with the first grandchild. And I think about what will the outcome be? How will I be when I stand before the Lord? And all is said and done. We're in a war. And really, our children and our nation is at stake. You know, we read a lot of surveys, or I do anyway, about churches and everything in America, this, that, and the other. And I know that there's some merit in doing that. But I also know that God's still on the throne. I still know that when His people gather and pray and really dedicate themselves to God and to His kingdom and His church, that He still does the miracles that we need so bad in our nation. So I think our country is at war for our own children. Record numbers of children go to college, and what do? They quit church. You say, well, I raised them to go to church, and they go off to college, and then guess what? They stop. And there's all kinds of nutty professors and institutions that are teaching ungodly things to them, and their mind starts whizzing, trying to figure out life for themselves, and many turn from God. And we want to try to stand in the gap of that. I want to read you a little scripture in Judges. Judges 2, 6 through 12 is on the screen. It says, "After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After the whole generation had been gathered to the fathers, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger." The nation of Israel, they had had some good times, just marched right into the promised land, and then some time goes on. Once Joshua and his generation had died out, if you will, they started doing things that they should not do. They turned their back on gods, on the true God. They started worshiping the gods, if you will, of the people around them. And today, people don't wait till their father and mother die. They do it early. They do it early in simple things that some think I'm a little too radical maybe sometimes, but I truly believe that the God of TV, and you say, now how old-fashioned is this? Call it what you want to. The God of the iPad, the God of everything raising your child because we're too caught up in ourselves to get off the phones ourselves to talk to our children, and the iPad and the TV are raising them. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So I'll get off my soapbox. You say, man, you're anti-technology. No, I'm not. But there's a balance to life. And the TV's not to raise the child. The school system is not to raise the child. The mom and dad are to raise the child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It is the parent's job to raise children. It is the parent and the home's job to take care and show them, as Dan testified today, what godly living is. That his dad did that on Sunday and Wednesday. No, all the time. A lifestyle of worshiping God. So there's all kinds of gods in this world. The God of convenience gets in the way sometimes. The God of pleasure gets in the way sometimes of what we're really supposed to do. And today, it is my opinion, and you have yours, that we live in a time that people say it's okay to make fun of God. It is a time that it's okay to talk publicly against the things of God and what He teaches. From our entertainment and forms of religion and everything else. So in my opinion, we're on the front line. Moms and dads and grandparents, we're on the front line in this battle. And we need to take serious our job and what we do in serving the Lord ourselves and make sure our hearts are right with God. You know the scripture probably in Deuteronomy, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts and press them on your children. So he's saying, talk to your children. Be involved in their lives. Tell them about God all the time. Proverbs 1, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Mom and dad's important. Nothing can replace them. Nothing can. Not the school system, not the church. And the school systems do the best they can with what they have. And some of the most giving, wonderful people that I've ever met are school teachers who love children and give out of their own pocket and give out of their own time because the government doesn't fund it the way they ought to. But it's not the school's job. It's not even the church's job. Yes, we play a part, but it is still the parent's job. You know the name Robert Schuller. Many of you will remember the Crystal Cathedral. He said he had to choose to fail so he could succeed. And the story goes on, I choose to fail at golf because I wanted to succeed as a father. And the story goes on that he loved the golf game more than just anything. You know, that was him. That was what he did. And he said he had to fail at that to be the father that he needed to be. So I'm not against golf or people who play golf. But at the same time, anything can get in our way of being a follower of Christ. Anything can get in our way of really raising our children the way we should. Now, I could get up here on a soapbox again and say, we got a wonderful children's ministry on Wednesday night, and you won't even bring your children. Shame on you. So that's all I've got to say about that, huh? We can talk about Sunday nights and this, that, and the other. It's a time to come and teach our children the truth about God's Word. We need desperately to take that seriously, and we do. And you bring them, we'll do our job. And I know many of you are doing a great job as parents, and I am proud of many of you. And, you know, 9 babies year before last, 5 babies last year, and you see all these things happening. You see new parents, and you see them grow. What a blessing for a pastor to be hanging around long enough to see these little guys that were little running around doing their thing, and now they've got a 1-year-old themselves or a 2-year-old themselves. That is a tremendous blessing to see and to pray for and to watch you be workers in the kingdom of God. So I'm thankful for you. So what's important to Ron Leonard? What's important to you? Your name in the blank. Well, there's a lot of things important to us. A lot of good things. And we're enjoying life and we're doing well. So thank God for that. But we can't forget that the scripture says, now listen, you need to impress these things of the Lord upon your children's heart. And when are you going to do that? When you sit at home? When you walk along the road? When you lie down? When you get up? That you're incorporating the good scriptures of God and the good things of God into the child's life on a daily basis, no matter what you're doing. You're not preaching to them all the time or having a Bible lesson in the living room all the time, but the way you live, the learning opportunities that come, it should be a natural thing. So what's important to us? I hope and pray our family and children, and we devote time to it because we got one shot, you know. My baby is out in Missouri. For the whole summer. She'll be home the last day of June, I think it is, and stay that week of the 4th, and then she goes back, and she'll come back like the 6th or 7th of August at Heartland Camp, and she's having a time teaching children and being a counselor, and I'm proud of her. A horse bit her the other day. She thinks she's an animal person, and she is, but she don't know anything about a horse. And her papaw said, now don't be walking behind them horses, Janae. Said, now you do know that. She said, yes, papaw, I know that. He should have told her about the other end. Big old blue spot, didn't break the skin. But anyway, you know, my influence, I hope, is still there some. But I'll tell you, you know the story. You've been there. They grow up and they make their own decisions. Here's your little story about a little girl who went to draw a picture. She went to her dad's office and crawled up on his lap and said, Daddy, come and see my picture. And Daddy said, not now, honey, I'm busy. About 10 minutes later, she came back and crawled up on his lap and said, Daddy, will you come and see my picture now? And he got frustrated. He said, "Can't you see I'm busy? Don't bother me right now. I'll come and look at your picture when I'm ready." A couple of hours went by. She came in and said, "Daddy, he said to his daughter, "Can I see the picture now?" The little girl said, "Sure." And she gets the picture out. It's a picture of her and her brother and her mom. They're standing out in the front yard and got the hound dog beside them. And they got big smiles on their face, a big sun in the background. And the dad looks at that and he knows he's not in there in the picture. "That's a nice picture, sweetheart. But how come I'm not in the picture?" And the little girl's comment was, "Because you're working in your office all the time, Daddy. Dads have to work, but we better make time to get in the picture. We better take time to get in the picture as we work." You know, time's a funny thing, isn't it? Some of you are a lot older than me. A bunch of you are older than me. A few's younger than me. How does time move like it does? Anymore, it's moving fast. You know, it seems like it moves faster. Does it really? I doubt it. Still got 24 hours in a day, don't we? But you remember when you're 16 and you wanted to do all these things and you just couldn't wait to be 18? And then it goes, "Oh, I can't wait to be 21. And then, "Oh, I'll just, you know, that right guy, that right girl. Oh, married. Oh, we're going to have a baby. Then we're going to do what?" And man alive, it just sneaks up on you. And here we are in the point of life that we are. Aren't you glad God appointed you to live when He did? Aren't you glad He formed you, knows you, and loves you, no matter when our time is, if we're 100 or if we're 2, God had a plan. But something about time, you don't get it back. You can't take it back. It moves on. So what I'm investing my time in, what we're investing our time in, it better count. Because it'll soon be gone. And as we know it. And we won't have the time on this earth. You know, if you give somebody some money, maybe you'll give your dad some money today. You go and make some more money. If you give some kind of a gift or something new, you know, you can go get something else, but when you give time, you don't get that back. So how will I spend my time as a man, as a preacher, as a husband, as a father, as on and on little different hats we wear? How will I spend my time? Something for us to think about today. And it will affect our children, I guarantee you that. And the time we choose to spend with them. Little boy was caught swearing like a sailor, the saying says. "Young man, where did you learn to talk that way?" said the boy's mother. The little boy looked at the dad and said, "Daddy, should I tell her?" Dad had been getting in a little trouble, I believe. What kind of example are we setting for our children, for our grandchildren, for the children in the church? You know, I'll tell you one thing. When I was a boy, it didn't have to be my daddy or mother to pop me on the bottom. Somebody else's daddy and mother would do it in the church. If some of us got to acting up a little bit as boys or whatever, it wasn't my grandmother or my mom and dad or whatever necessarily. And they'd get you by the arm and just pop you all at the same time. Say, "Don't you know where you're at?" "Yeah, I guess I do." You know, it's like, "Boy, you're in the house of the Lord. You're at church." Or wherever. It didn't have to be in church. It could be anywhere. So what kind of influence are we having? Thank God for good people having good influences, godly people having godly influences on children today. And I commend you for it. I really do. So many of you, some of you have heroes right here in the building that you've testified to. So give it your time. And, you know, what about people that seem, and this sounds judgmental, but seem not to have a good dad? Or a good example. What about those? What do we do with those folks that we come in contact with? Why don't we adopt one or two of them? And you know, people in this church is going through that process, literally with the state, but not in that sense, but just kind of adopt them on the side, if you will. You know, Barry Bodner tells the story often of Mr. Shorty Anderson sitting back there taking time to love on him as a boy. He says that, you know, he was playing this kind of ball and that kind of ball and whatever, and said when he come in the door of the church that Mr. Shorty would be saying, "Man, how many times did you hit that ball?" Or, "Man, I saw that throw," or, "I saw this or that or the other." And at the time, he said, you know, that was okay. But he said it took him years to understand what the man was really doing. How he was investing in his life, how he was encouraging him, how he was being a part of his life there just some time. And it's still going on today. I see many of you doing that, so I commend you. I encourage you to be the godly example that we need to be to children here, the children out in the community, and any place, that we will do what we're supposed to as the body of Christ. And children, I can't stress to you enough, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. You know, I didn't have a lot of problems honoring my mom and dad. And that's just the truth of it. I didn't have a problem. I just kind of fell in line. Now, in the later teenage years, I did do some rebelling and did things I shouldn't do. But I knew I was wrong, and the Spirit would convict me of things like that, but I didn't want to bring dishonor to my dad and my mom. And not everybody's that way, but that's just kind of the way I was. And, you know, if I got out of line, it wasn't real hard for him to take that big old hand of his and let me know how to get back in line. We live in a funny culture, and we argue about everything, and everybody has so many opinions on everything that don't know enough to get in out of the rain. You've got a liberal stance in our own government, and everything else has gone crazy as crazy can be. They're fulfilling the scripture. It says there's people calling right wrong and wrong right. There's people, what God said plainly not to do, are advocating for it to be done. What a time. What a culture. But what an opportunity. What an opportunity at home. What an opportunity with grandchildren. What an opportunity with community kids that maybe don't have a dad around. What an opportunity. What a time to show the love of Jesus Christ the Lord. It's our turn. We've got that time right here, right now. Until God calls us home, we can be a positive, godly influence. Stand with me. Our Father in heaven, as we stand in your presence again, we are so glad again to call you Father. We're so glad to know what that means, our Father in heaven. We're so thrilled to know you, and by your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness, and your love, we are where we're at today. And we bless your holy name for it. We give you the glory and the honor for all good things. And Father, we stand here as a congregation in closing before you. And God, I don't know what's on the hearts of people today, but I'm glad you do. They may be a strained relationship someplace with a child and a dad. They might be something that the Spirit has said to people that don't even connect really with Father's Day, that they'd like to come to the altar and pray about. You may want to pray right in the pew where they're at. But God, in just a few moments in time, you can do the miraculous. You can really speak to the depths of our being, and we can adore you, and we can worship you right here and now. We can confess sin to you. We can thank you and praise you. So whatever is needed, I pray we will obey what the Spirit says to us in these quiet few moments of time.